Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 15, says, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through Him and for Him. He is before all things. And in Him all things hold together, and He is the head of the body of the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything He might be preeminent. For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of His cross. And you who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, He is now reconciled in His body of flesh by His death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before Him, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. Would you go to the Lord in prayer with me this morning? And God, we come before your throne, thanking you so much for the truth, all the many truths that we were able to just proclaim this morning with our voices. Where would we be without Christ? Where would we be without the hope of Christ? Lord, we thank you so much for what you've done. God, you allowed your Son to come to this earth, live a sinless life, to take on the role of a man, deity wrapped in humanity, but he would come and he would serve. He would wash feet, he would touch the leper, heal the sick, have compassion on the hurting. Ultimately, he would go to the cross, allow himself to be ridiculed, to be mocked, to be blasphemed, to be made fun of, to have a crown of thorns smashed upon his head, to be clothed in a scarlet robe, while soldiers whom he had made, whom he knew the very heart of, bowed down and mocked him and made fun of him, while they punched him in the face, spit on him, and then forced him to carry his own cross up the hill to Golgotha. They nailed him to that cross. And as he was hanging there naked, people came by and made fun of him. While he's bleeding to death, they would poke him with a spear and place him in the grave. 3 days later, he was resurrected from the grave. Because of what Christ has done, we have hope. We have the hope of eternal life. We have the hope every single day in this life that Christ is walking with us, that Christ is there for us, that Christ is holding us together. Oh God, where would we be without the hope of Christ? And Father, we just ask and pray today that as we look at your word, as we celebrate what Christ has done, that we would leave this place, God, just being reminded of who Christ is and the hope that he gives us, not just for eternity, but the hope that he gives us every single day of our lives. Where would we be without Christ? Father, our prayer today is that as we magnify Christ, as we see Christ in this text, that it would not be about myself, an Easter bunny, an Easter egg, that we would leave this place in just a few moments just amazed at the person and the work of Jesus Christ. He is amazing. We love you, God. We love you. We love you. Bless us these next few moments. And all God's people said, amen. Please be seated. Children's Church, you guys are dismissed at this time. You are dismissed at this time. And all I got to say is good luck, Miss Julie. If you have your Bibles this morning, and I hope that you do, I want to invite you to join me in the book of Colossians. In the book of Colossians, I just read the text that we're going to look at more in depth, but it's Colossians chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verses 15, specifically all the way through 23. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15, all the way through 23. I'm sure you've heard it said that Elvis Presley is the king of rock and roll, that Michael Jackson is the king of pop, that LeBron James is the king of basketball, or that Prince Charles is the future king of England. And while all of these may be true here on the earth in this present moment, Jesus Christ is the King of Kings. Jesus Christ is the Lord of Lords. And the text that we're looking at today, it declares the awesome preeminence of Christ. It declares the awesome preeminence of Christ. So in the book of Colossians, Paul is writing to a church in Colossae who was confronted with false doctrine. You see, a group of false teachers rose up among them, and these false teachers are downplaying the supremacy and the sufficiency of Christ. And Paul is writing to the church at Colossae to remind the believers of who Christ is and all that Christ has done. That Christ is supreme over all, and that he alone is sufficient for salvation and for every spiritual need. And in this point in the letter, Paul uses a hymn in verses 15 through 20 to declare the preeminence of Christ. And one theologian even calls it a poem. Now, there is a debate as to whether or not Paul was the one who wrote this hymn, or if it was a hymn that was already circulating in the early church. But nonetheless, theologians all agree that verses 15 through 20 was an ancient hymn, or maybe even an ancient poem, about the superiority, the deity, and the supremacy of Christ. Let's look at this text together. Look at the very beginning of verse 15 with me. Paul says, "He is the image of the invisible God." And the word "image" that is used here is the Greek word "ikon," and it translates as copy or likeness. So, in other words, Paul is saying that Jesus is both the representation and also the manifestation of God. He is saying this, that Jesus is fully man, but at the same time, he is fully God. Jesus is deity and humanity all wrapped up in one person. As a matter of fact, Paul will go on to say in chapter 2, "For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily." This means that Jesus is fully God and fully man. You see, all throughout the scriptures, Jesus himself affirmed the fact that he is God. In John 8, Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." In John chapter 10, Jesus said, "I and the Father are one." And these statements are proclamations of his deity. One theologian writes, "To say that Christ is the image of God is to say that in him the nature and being of God have been perfectly revealed, that in him the invisible has become visible." The Baptist Faith and Message, the statement of faith that we as adhere to, says it like this: Christ is the eternal Son of God. In his incarnation as Jesus Christ, he was conceived of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. Jesus perfectly revealed and did the will of God, taking upon himself human nature with its demands and necessities, and identifying himself completely with mankind, yet without sin. He honored the divine law by his personal obedience, and in his substitutionary death on the cross, he made provision for the redemption of men from sin. He was raised from the dead with a glorified body and appeared to his disciples as the person who was with them before his crucifixion. He ascended into heaven and is now exalted at the right hand of God, where he is the one mediator, fully God, fully man, in whose person is effected the reconciliation between God and man. He will return in power and glory to judge the world and to consummate his redemptive mission. He now dwells in all believers as the living and ever-present Lord. This is our Savior. Jesus is the exact representation of God. When we see Jesus in the Gospels, we see God. When we see the heart of Jesus for others, we see the heart of God. Jesus is fully God and fully man. What does this mean for us today? This means that Jesus Christ, the one in whom we trust, the one that we sing to, he has all authority. This means that what Jesus says in his word is absolutely true. This means that Jesus can be fully trusted. This means that Jesus can be followed with a total and absolute confidence. Look at the rest of verse 15. It says, he is the firstborn of all creation. Now, we need to understand that this verse does not mean that Christ was born or that he was created. You see, Christ, he has always been. Christ is not a created being. This verse simply means that Jesus Christ is the highest in rank, that Jesus Christ is supreme over all. As a matter of fact, the New Living Translation translates verse 15b as this: he existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. So just looking at just one verse, verse 15, it can be essentially summed up like this, that Jesus is fully God and fully man. He has always been, and Jesus is supreme over all. Look at verse 16. It says, for by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And this verse, verse 16, it essentially means what it says, that everything was created by Christ. All the earth, all the heavens, all earthly or supernatural powers, all spirit beings, whether good or evil, all was made by Christ, and all is subject to Christ. And even though all powers and all spiritual beings were made by Christ, it does not mean that all powers or all spiritual beings submit to Christ. Why? Because we live in a fallen world, and Satan and his demons are in rebellion to Christ. But we need to be reminded this morning that Christ is still Lord over all, even all evil. And Christ will even use the evil in this world to point to his glory, just like we see all throughout the Word of God. Again, everything and everyone were created to bring glory to Christ. And everything and everyone will eventually bow to the lordship of Christ, whether in this life or in eternity. But this text is teaching that all will give glory to Christ. What does this mean for the believer? It means that Christ has all authority. He has all authority over all creation. Christ has all authority over every person. Christ has all authority over all evil. Christ has all authority over every spiritual being, whether good or bad, and all will point to his glory. Therefore, what does this mean for us? This means that the believer in Christ has nothing to fear. Nothing to fear, because our Savior is in charge of all. One theologian writes, for those who have been redeemed by Christ, the universe has no ultimate terrors. They know that their Redeemer is also creator, ruler, and goal of all. Because Christ has all authority, we have nothing to fear, because he is the one who is in charge. Look at verse 17 with me. It says this in verse 17, that he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And this verse simply means that Christ existed before creation itself, and he is the one who holds everything together, including the universe. John MacArthur writes, Christ sustains the universe, maintaining the power and balance necessary to life's existence and continuity. Another theologian, Douglas Moo, writes, without Christ, electrons would not continue to circle nuclei. gravity would cease to work and the planets would not stay in their orbits. The writer of Hebrews says it like this: the sun radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God, and he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. Again, all of this is pointing back to the amazing and awesome preeminence of Christ. You see, he is preeminent over all, even all creation. He is the one who holds it all together. And it begs this question for us this morning: if Christ is the one who holds the universe together, don't you think that he can handle your life too? If Christ holds the universe together, he can handle what you're facing today. If Christ holds the universe together, he can handle what is on your horizon tomorrow. Christ has got it. Christ is in charge. Look at verse 18. It says that he is the head of the body, the church. You see, as Christ holds all things together, he also holds the church together. I'm not the head of the church. You're not the head of the church. Christ is the head of the church. He holds the church together. Why? Because he is in charge. Because he is the head of the church. Christ will build his church. Christ is the one who sustains his church. The gates of hell will not prevail against his church. Therefore, as he is the head of the church must submit fully to his lordship. Paul said it like this in Ephesians chapter 5. Christ is the head of the church. He is the savior of his body, the church, as the church submits to Christ. Look at the rest of verse 18. It says that he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. And theologians all agree that this verse is talking about the resurrection of Christ. What we are here to celebrate today, that Jesus Christ was the very first one to be resurrected from the dead, but never to die again. Therefore, he is preeminent over all. He is preeminent over all, and this includes death. He is preeminent over life. He is preeminent over creation. He existed before creation. He created all things, and he sustains all things. He holds all things in the palm of his hands. He is preeminent over all good and evil. All was made to bow down to him and to bring him glory. He is preeminent over redemption. He is preeminent over salvation. And he is preeminent over death by his resurrection from the dead. Therefore, what Paul is saying to these believers, and what he is saying to you and I, is that Jesus Christ is the source of everything. All fulfillment is found in Christ alone. You looking for something today? You can find it in Christ. You searching for something today? Looking for a need to be fulfilled in your heart today? You can find it in Christ. You will find it in Christ. Verse 19, for in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And again, this all goes back to the deity of Christ. Like Paul said again in Colossians chapter 2, for in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. You want to know God today? Look to the Son of God. Look to Christ. So essentially, Paul is saying to the Colossian believers and to you and I that Christ is not one God among many gods. Jesus Christ is the God. Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords. Jesus Christ is sufficient. Jesus Christ is supreme. And because Christ is fully God, he is able to reconcile to himself all things. Look at what verse 20 says. It says, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And this verse is teaching that because of Christ's finished work on the cross, he is able to reconcile all things. That he is one day going to make all things new. Aren't you looking forward to that day? to when all things are made new. He is one day going to make all things new, and this includes all of creation. You see, church family, by Jesus' finished work on the cross, he is one day going to bring peace. He is one day going to bring peace to all of the created order. You see, when sin came into the earth through the sin of Adam and Eve, what did it do? It messed everything up. It brought curse upon the land. It brought sin onto the earth. But by Christ's finished work on the cross, he is one day going to make everything right. He is going to bring peace to everything, to all of creation, to world governments, peace between people. And most importantly, Jesus gives believers peace with God. Douglas Moo writes, God's work in Christ has in view a reclamation of the entire universe, tainted as it is by human sin. Through the work of Christ on the cross, God has brought his entire rebellious creation back under the rule of his sovereign power. You see, church family, there are a lot of awesome things on this earth. We look outside and see just the beauty of creation. Things like the stars or the sun, the moon, the mountains, the oceans, trees, the animals. But all of these and so many more things, they're all created by Christ. All subject to Christ and all held together by Christ. All made to bring glory to Christ. So what does this tell us about Christ today? That he is amazing. He is awesome. He is preeminent. There is nothing and there is no one like our Christ. Just like the lyrics of this great hymn say, name of all majesty, fathomless mystery, King of the ages by angels adored. Power and authority, splendor and dignity, bow to his mastery. Jesus is Lord, child of our destiny, God from eternity, love of the Father on sinners outpoured. See now what God has done, sending his only Son, Christ the beloved one. Jesus is Lord, Savior of Calvary, costly as victory, darkness defeated and Eden restored, born as a man to die, nailed to a cross on high, cold in the grave to lie. Jesus is Lord. He's the source of all sovereignty, light, immortality, life everlasting and heaven assured. So with the ransomed, we praise him eternally, Christ in his majesty. Jesus is Lord. So as verses 15 through 20 are all about the amazing and awesome preeminence of Christ, verses 21 through 23 describe the finished work of Christ. The finished work of Christ on our behalf for you and I. Look at verse 21. Now he's talking to us, to the church. And you, who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds. Again, you see, church family, because of the fall in the garden when Adam and Eve brought sin into the earth, this can be said of every single person apart from Christ, that they are alienated from God. This word alienated, it means to be separated or to be estranged from God. And to be separate from God and apart from Christ is to be hostile toward God. You see, to be separate from God and apart from Christ is to be an enemy of God. That's what Ephesians 2 tells us. Romans 5 also tells us this. But this is what Christ has done for all who trust in his finished work on the cross. Look at verse 22 with me. Again, we were alienated and hostile in mind. We were estranged from God. We were separated from God. But this is what Christ has done for all who trust in him. Look at verse 22. Here is the good news. This is why we worship. This is why we celebrate today. He has reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. Isn't that good news today? In other words, for all who trust in Christ, Christ has reconciled them back to God. The word reconciled that is used here, it literally means this: to bring back into harmony with. Again, we were once alienated from God. We were once estranged from God, but now we are reconciled back to God. We are brought back into harmony with God through the finished work of Christ. And because of what Christ has done, believers, as this text says, believers are now holy and blameless and above reproach before God. That's amazing news for us today. This means that we are without blemish before God because of the finished work of Christ. This means that we are perfect before God whenever we trust in Christ by faith. You see, in Christ, because of what he has done, your sin is completely forgiven. It is cast as far as the east is from the west. If you are in Christ today, God no longer sees your sin. In Christ, your sin is completely forgiven. In Christ, the stain of sin is washed as white as snow. That's great news today for you and I. This is why we worship. This is why we gather. This is why we celebrate. This is why we sing, because of this very news that we're talking about today. But notice again what Paul says. Again, he's talking to you and I, talking to the church, talking to believers. This is who Christ is. He's preeminent. Once you were separated from God, but now you've been reconciled back to God. But then notice the responsibility for the believer. All right? It doesn't stop there. We still have a responsibility. He says, if you indeed continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. In this verse, it gets us back to the entire reasoning for why Paul wrote to the Colossian believers, to encourage them to continue walking in the hope of the gospel, to not sway from the teaching of the gospel, to not give into the teachings of the false teacher. In this verse, Paul is telling believers that they must persevere in their faith. He is saying that believers will continue in their faith. He is saying that believers will be stable in their faith. And this means to be settled in what one believes and how they continue to live for Christ after they have trusted in Christ. He's saying not to be wishy-washy in one's faith. He is saying, by summary, true believers will be steadfast in their faith. Now, does this mean that you'll be perfect? Absolutely not. We're not going to be perfect. But what he's saying here is that we're going to continue following after Jesus. He says, be steadfast in your faith. And this is the idea of being immovable in one's faith, being settled in one's faith in Christ, having a firm foundation in Jesus Christ, and in living for him. Paul also said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says, therefore, my beloved brothers, because of what Christ has done, he says, be steadfast, be immovable. In other words, once you trust in Christ, remain constant in your faith. Don't go chasing this or that. Keep chasing after Jesus Christ, because he's worth it. He's the source of all life. All fulfillment is found in him alone. Why would we chase anything else? Be steadfast in your faith after Christ. So this text, it's just an amazing text. As I was studying this week and just preparing, it was just difficult to get my mind wrapped around all of this, the rich theology that is found in this text. This text tells us again that Jesus is fully God and fully man. That Jesus Christ, he is the one who is highest in rank. Jesus is the one who is supreme over all. Everything was created by Christ. Everything is subject to Christ. All will one day give glory to Christ. Christ existed before creation itself, and he is the one who holds everything together, including the universe. Christ is the head of the church. Christ sustains the church. Christ is preeminent over death. Christ is going to bring peace to everything, to creation, to world governments, peace between people, and most importantly, Jesus Christ gives believers peace with God. Therefore, because of what Christ has done, believers are now holy, blameless, and above reproach before God. What an amazing Savior, right? It's all about Him, who He is, and what He has done for you and I. In closing today, I want to just give us a few application points to think about. As we're celebrating this resurrection day, what is the application for us today? Number one, I think the application is this. Repent of my sin and trust in Christ for salvation. The Bible says that apart from Christ, that again, we're alienated from Christ. Separated from God. Hostile towards God. We are an enemy of God apart from Christ. But look at what Paul says. Since therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. Saved by who? Saved by Christ. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. Again, that word reconciled, it means to be brought back into harmony with God. Because of Christ, by the death of his son, much more that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. You see, the free gift of God is eternal life, only found through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, if you're in this place today and you have never trusted in Christ alone for salvation, today can be the day of salvation for you, where you bow your life to his lordship and you say, God, I'm giving up. I want to trust in Christ today. Today is the salvation, the day of salvation for you. Listen, you're not guaranteed tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation for you. Today. Next, so we repent of our sin and we trust in Christ for salvation. Eternity is coming sooner than what we think. Next, then we submit fully to his lordship. Why? Because he is supreme. He is preeminent over all. You see, we can submit to him fully now, or we will submit to him in eternity. But regardless, all will submit to the lordship of Christ. Does he have control of your entire life? Not just this part or that part or that part, but does Jesus Christ have control of every aspect of your life? Submit fully to him and give him complete charge over every aspect of your life. And listen, you will not regret it. He will hold your life in the palm of his hands. He holds all things together, and he will hold your life together. Trust in Christ for salvation. Submit fully to him. Next, trust him fully with my life. In life, there'll be times of hardship, times of hurt, times of pain, times of difficulty, times of loss, times of confusion. But listen, by way of reminder, if Christ holds the universe together, he will hold your life together. Trust him. Trust him. Not the ways of the world. Trust Christ. He's got it in the palm of his hands. We trust him for salvation. We submit fully to his lordship. We trust him fully with our lives. And then, as Paul said, let's continue steadfast in the faith. Reminder of what Paul told the Colossian believers. He says, continue in the faith. Stable, steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel. And maybe you're in this place today, and at one point in time, you were following Christ and you were steadfast in your faith. But for some reason, you started walking this way and you know it. Or you've started this walking this way and you know it. And maybe today, you can just recenter your life and say, you know what? I need to get my life back on track. I want to continue to be steadfast in my faith. And listen, church family, there will be times whenever you make a mistake. There will be times whenever you mess up. But listen, whenever you mess up, Jesus Christ is waiting there with his arms open wide to you saying, child, son, daughter, come back to me. You repent of your sin. He'll pick you up. He'll dust you off. He'll wipe off your tears. And he'll say these words to you. Let's keep going. I'm walking with you. I'm cheering you on. So when you mess up, come back to him. He is waiting on you with arms open wide. Let's continue to be steadfast in our faith. Next, what else should we do? May we tell others about the wonders of Christ. You see, everything the world needs and everything that the world is looking for can be found in Christ alone. He's the source of everything. He's the bread of life. He's the living water. He's the hope. Tell others about the wonders of Christ. And then lastly, what should we do today and every single day of our lives because of his preeminence, because of his deity, because of his superiority, because of who he is and all the amazing things that he has done? We should worship Christ. That's why we sing to him. That's why we gather in a place like this to celebrate the resurrection, because of what Christ has done for us. May we worship him every single day of our lives. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? And maybe you are in this place today and you've never trusted in Christ for salvation. Why do you need to do that? Again, the Bible says that apart from Christ, we are separated from God. In other words, we cannot get to God on our own. You could say it like this, that if you were to pass away apart from Christ, the Bible says this, that you would go to a very real place that the Bible calls hell. But you don't have to have that worry today because of what Christ has done. The Bible says this, that the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Today you can place your faith and trust in him. How do you do that? Well, you have to come to this realization that you need Christ. That without Christ, you cannot make it on your own. You cannot have your sin forgiven apart from Christ. You cannot be right with God apart from Christ. Maybe you're in this place today. You can say a prayer like this to God and mean this from the depths of your heart. You can repeat these words after me. You could say something like this: God, I admit that I need Jesus. I understand that my sin separates me from you, O God. And I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sin. And today, I put my faith and my trust in Jesus. I commit my life to Jesus. I confess that Jesus is Lord, and I am not. Thank you, God, for saving me. And the Bible makes it very clear that if you called out to the Lord today, that you're saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Saved from what? You're saved from the penalty of your sin. You're saved to hope. You're saved to eternal life. You're saved to the Spirit of God living inside of you. And if you said that to God today, we want to help you and lead you and guide you into what's next. Would you let us know somehow, in some way? Would you maybe tell somebody, tell myself, or you could even write it down on your bulletin, that little tear-off slip. You can write that down and just place it in the offering plate as you leave today. And we'll contact you, and we just want to celebrate with you, but we also want to lead you and guide you into what's next. What's next for the believer is this, is what we call believer's baptism. It's what you saw James go through just a few moments ago. The Bible makes it very clear, and we see all sorts of examples in the Bible that after one trusted in Christ, they came to the waters of baptism. This is how one identifies with Christ and shows the world that they are a Christ follower. That's the next step for you. And we would love to just help you and lead you and guide you into that. God, we love you. May we never, ever get over the gospel message and what Christ has done for us. We worship Christ today. He is highest in rank. He is supreme over all. Everything was created by Christ. All is subject to Christ. All will give glory to Christ. Christ existed before creation itself. Christ is the one who holds everything together, including the universe. And as he holds everything together, God, we thank you so much for holding us together. God, I pray for my brother or sister that's in this place today that's going through a difficult time. Maybe it's been a rough week or month or year. Or they see difficulty happening tomorrow. Would you just remind them today that you're with them, that you're walking with them, that you'll hold them together, that as you hold the universe in the palm of your hands, that you'll hold their situation in the palm of your hands as well. Thank you for being that for us, Christ. You are our hope. Christ, you're the head of the church. We thank you that you are in control of your church, that you'll sustain your church, that you'll build your church. We thank you, God, that you are preeminent over death, and that one day Christ is going to bring peace to all of the created order, peace between people. We thank you most importantly, more than everything, that Jesus gives us peace with God. We thank you, Father, that because of what Christ has done, we are now holy, blameless, and above reproach before God. We love you, God. Thank you so much for Jesus. We worship him. In your name we pray. Amen. Church family, would you stand to your feet as we worship this preeminent Savior, Jesus Christ?